And it happened that as Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So what that means is that they had watched Jesus praying. And that must be a wonderful sight. It really must have been something absolutely wonderful to watch the Son of God praying to his Father. And it's recorded several times in the Gospel records that they found Jesus praying. And I think they remembered it. Like when he has healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law. He gets up early in the morning, goes out, finds a quiet place to pray a great while before day, and they go looking for him and they find him. So it must have been a wonderful thing to see Jesus praying to his Father. And so they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. Because they obviously sensed that from his body language and the whole scene that here was a man in real contact with God. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father who is in heaven. Our Father. So the first word in the Lord's Prayer, in English anyway, is our. It's a reminder that we are not alone, that there is a community of other children of God. Our Father who is in heaven. So God is real. God exists in a real bodily form, and he has a real location. And that location is in heaven. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, may your name be glorified. That's right, God made everything, but his name is really stands up for his character and his personality. And so everything he does in creation or in his actions reveals his name, which is I am Yahweh, a God full of grace, mercy, truth, justice, judgment, etc., who will definitely punish sin and so forth. And so we're asking for that name of God to be glorified in our lives and the lives of everything. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. So that is a prayer for the coming of the kingdom, when the will of God will be done on the earth like it is in heaven. Because at the moment, God has allowed people on the earth to go their own way. And so they don't do his will. That is what he wants. They do what they want, and he allows them to do that. Now, the next bit is really difficult. Give us day by day our daily bread. And the idea seems to be, give us just enough food that we need for today. And yet we, of course, want so much more than that. We want to have security. We want to have enough food for tomorrow and the week after and so on. It's a bit like Israel in the wilderness, which is like us after we're baptized, as they went through the water, so we're baptized. And we are also in our wilderness journey. And he gave them manna every day, and their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out, he gave them water. So he gave them food, bread, water, and clothing. And that is what he promises us. And as David said, I've never seen the seed of the righteous begging bread. But of course, we want so much more. But we are to ask for him to give us just enough food for today. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Now that's very hard to pray. Not just please forgive me my sins, but please forgive me my sins as I forgive others. And this means that how we forgive others is the basis upon which we will be forgiven. That's why refusing to forgive people or saying, I'll forgive you only if you repent. Well, if that's our policy, well, then that will be God's policy to us. And all of us commit sins of ignorance and sins that we don't repent of. And if that's how we treat other people, then that is definitely how we will be treated. So we must forgive, even without people repenting. We must forgive, because that is how we shall be treated. And lead us not into temptation or testing. Well, temptation itself comes from inside us. As James says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, because God doesn't tempt anybody. It comes from our own desires inside us, what the Bible would call Satan or the devil, the big enemy. But God can lead you into a place of testing, as he led Israel into the wilderness. So lead us not into testing, but deliver us from evil. And the parallel record in Matthew says, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And he gives them an example. He said to them, which of you will have a friend and will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I've got nothing to set before him. From within, will he answer and say to you, don't bother me, the door is shut, my children are with me in bed, I can't get up and give you anything. No, I tell you, although he may not want to rise and give him, yet because he is his friend and because of his need, he will rise and give him as many loaves as he needs. And I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it will be opened. But this is all about the person who is so poor that they can't help their brother, and they therefore go knocking on their friend's door and say, give me loaves, please, not for myself, but for someone else. So it's not saying, name it and claim it. Oh, you want something, or just ask God for it and you're going to get it. That's quite clearly not how God operates. What he's saying is, if you see other people's need and you have to do something about it because it comes knocking on your door, then if you then go to God, whatever you ask for others in order to do his work with others will be given to you. And I've seen that in my life over many years and decades, that is truly how God works.